Nobody does.
Together.
You have 8 tag team titles.
I don't like the Acclaim. It's just something about them just rolls me.
You don't like the Acclaim?
No, no. I don't like their. I'm sorry. Listen,
Daddy, you don't want to scissor me right now?
As wrestlers, they're great. But their whole thing, the freestyling bullshit that they do before the ring, I hate that. That shit's trash.
No.
Let's be honest. Him coming down with the fucking headphones, the Beats by Dre headphones. With the curl up and doing these horrible ass bars that people like ooh and ah. Because nobody listens to fucking rap that goes to AEW. When you hear somebody say Warlow, ass low, they're like, oh, that shit's trash.
That's trash. We sit here
and up them. Now, them in the ring is different. Their intro. The intro is trash. Them in the ring, they can wrestle.
I don't know. You were missing, you're 1,000% correct. You were missing for the Lord. You were missing a year ago for the Lori Lightfoot.
Let's give it. It's simplicity. Even John Cena as a coming out rapper, he was hit or miss.
He was.
But their whole thing, they don't even have the, like, at least John Cena could fucking rap and he was hit and miss.
Right.
These motherfuckers can't rap and then they still miss.
But I don't think that's their goal.
The goal is to bring in the crowd. You're using hip hop as the reason to bring the crowd in and you suck at hip hop. So what the fuck are you doing? You're tarnishing these little white kids. They think that you're a good rapper.
That's right.
You're fucking trash, bucko.
That's right. That's
and
right.
This is what you think about before you come out here? You think about these little eight bars?
That's right.
No, for real. Just think about it.
Ain't that the shit that
come
you
on,
do?
Bro. They got to cut that shit out. Like, Hit Row is good at that. Because they're actually talented.
And they're in the studio, too.
And they do this.
They do this for real.
Like, I feel like Tony Khan was like, hey, you guys kind of fit that Drake-ish role. You like, light skin. You want to
bingo.
Rap.
But then Swerve is right there.
So I'm going to tell you this. Tony Khan is like any... He's a Indian motherfucker. Indian American, I'm guessing. What the fuck is he?
He's a Persian.
Persia, Meowth, all them niggas.
I'm guessing he looks at niggas like niggas, right?
So instead of having Swerve actually rap,
who looks hip hop,
he raps, he has fucking podcasts, he chills with Wale and all these rappers.
Instead of having this guy rap, you get the
Drakes of the world. Right. And you create these motherfuckers so everybody can like them.
But don't get Cheek started on Drake. Cause she's got a whole
fuck on Drake. Fuck light skin. I hate that nigga too. So we're good. But what I'm saying is you took a fucking prototype that you feel works.
Right.
And that you're feeding these kids to be like, oh, well, we're going to give you some type of hip-hop talent. They don't need a background music because they are their music.
Right.
They suck.
But that's not it.
That's not Tony. The Acclaim does their own gimmick. He doesn't write gimmicks.
No. You let that shit fly. This is your shit. But you brought it past him and Tony was like,
But the same,
give me more.
Which is the truth. Which is the truth, because Tony Khan, at some point...
I'm not saying that he wrote the gimmick.
But it's the same as the opposite. Swerve can easily say, hey, I want to...
No, but I feel like Tony wouldn't let that fly.
No, Tony doesn't care about your gimmick. You, if that's your thing, house, it's your gimmick. Yeah, yeah. The only thing he cares about is the match that you're booked in. Eric Bischoff said so on his podcast, and... So did Ric Flair, and so did Bruce Prichard, and everyone else has ever talked about it. Look, they always talk about how...
White people all lie together. I don't trust none of the white people you just said. So look, I'm telling you like this.
Tony Schiavone said it.
Tony Schiavone got earrings. That nigga like 70. That pissed me off too. Like, why the fuck does he have earrings? Did I say that? I was like, why the fuck does he have earrings? You're like fucking 70. He's you spit like... No, he's not. Tony Schiavone needs his hip replaced. That nigga's not hip. Come on, bro. I'm tired of this shit. Y'all gotta stop. AEW is good. It does what it does. I'm happy. But sometimes we just do too fucking much and we just let it slide because niggas hate WWE. Let's keep it a buck. Yes.
What I'm saying is...
Yes, let's keep it a buck. If WWE was doing everything that AEW was doing, we wouldn't have this conversation.
But the so-called creative control that you're arguing about that isn't there in AEW, which is why these...
Right, that's why people are running around and you got light-skinned motherfuckers coming down and rapping this bullshit.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying if Swerve wanted to, he could do it.
But I feel like, okay, so if you have two... So if you have these rappers, then the next thing, it would be a rap-off. So Tony Khan would be like, oh, so we got this rapper and this rapper. Let's have them have a beat off.
You say let's have a beat off?
Yes.
You rap.
He raps. Let's have a beat off in the middle of the ring. And then fucking Tony Khan is the DJ.
Listen, Dominic, you're telling me right now, that you don't think Tony Khan would do that?
He would.
Exactly.
He would, and that would suck. And he would make it a fucking main event. And he would put it on the pay-per-view.
So you're telling me right now that if him in his Asperger's mind was like, Swerve can rap, like, he would do that instantly. So it's not that he's saying...
But it's not that he wouldn't... Of course he'd do it because he'd want the spectacle.
Yeah.
But...
Why would
Swerve do that?
Because it wouldn't make sense. Because they already have rappers.
If the other rappers who are already playing up to the crowd with their terrible shit that they're trotting out there, they're playing to the crowd.
Swerve isn't going to play to the real rap. He's going to go out there and really rap.
But if Swerve wants to, Swerve can do it.
Yeah, but then that convolutes what he does as a rapper. So let's say you're a good rapper and you're like, oh, just because these guys are trash, I'm going to go out there hippity hop, hippity ho. And then you're diluting what you do.
You can't say it's Tony Khan saying to Swerve, no, you can't do
it. No. I'm not saying that it's Tony. I'm saying Tony Khan lets these people do this instead of cutting this shit off. You have to bring this past them.
Everybody do what they want to do.
That's the problem.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
You don't have, if you don't, I'm not saying that you have to be
but
like.
But it comes with the, what comes with the
look,
good comes with
you don't
the
have
bad.
To be like this. But you have to be like, bro, this shit not working. I'm
what
sorry.
What comes with
bro.
The good comes with the bad. You can't.
I'm not saying like, dump it, figure it out. You can figure it out, but
it's
don't.
It's the same issue that came with WWE when Jericho left WWE, when he said, I didn't have people writing myself, but as soon as they started writing myself is when I decided to leave. You can't say, hey, for this person, we're not writing their stuff, but for you, Dominic, we're writing your stuff. You can't say that.
You know what's funny?
Either Angel writes his own stuff, and you write your own stuff, or I write your stuff, and I write your stuff.
But I feel like if they decide to write your stuff, it's something about you.
But that's not how AEW works. It's
no, but I'm saying, but that's true. Like, let's say me and Angel are on a hit. Me and Angel are in the fucking promo off, and we're killing shit, and then... For 2 months, we're setting up this fucking long-ass story match. And then right before we have this match, somebody pulls us to the side and was like, hey, we're going to have to rewrite your shit. Your shit's not hitting.
That's how WWE works. So it's either one or the other. You either get the shitty that comes with the good.
Hey, P-Fix, one thing I'm not going to stand for is WWE slander in this house right now.
I told you. Look, I know what it is, bro. I'm just saying. I know what it is. It's not that. It's never that WWE is.
I'm not going to stand for this Bruce Pritchard slander. I can't even say it. I can't even speak right now. It's just Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Is that the shit that you do?
You got Bruce Pritchard telling Triple H to dress up as Kane.
Give me your phone.
Bro, it is what it is.
Bruce, give me your phone.
It is what it is. AEW fucks around and does bad shit.
I don't disagree.
They do a lot of bad shit.
You either get the good and the bad, or you get
the bad. You don't have to have a full show full of bad.
You can't run a company just being, hey, everyone do whatever you want all
it
the
doesn't
time.
Work.
I'm not disagreeing.
So if I had some juice, right? And I made this fire-ass juice. If I made this fire-ass juice and then sifted.
I mean, okay, let's talk about one good show a year.
You company and say, hey, we're going to let you say whatever you want on the microphone.
They're finna change it now anyway. They're finna cut out blood. They finna cut down the fucking cursing and everything.
That's not AEW.
No, that's finna be AEW. No, AEW is finna cut out all the damn blood.
Are they really?
Yes, because they bleed too fucking much. Nobody bleeds this fucking much every day.
Didn't I tell you that?
Get the fuck out of here.
That's
a real idea.
Discovery. That's not AEW. It's different. It's the same thing that happened with WCW. It's the same. It's the parallels are so similar. It's like it's mind blowing that one. I agree with you that Tony Khan lets this happen. And the parallels are so similar. But the difference is you can't come out and say, hey, we're gonna have a company where you, me can all say what we want on the microphone. You're your own character. Whatever your gimmick is, you come in, you make your own gimmick.
I'm Black Kenwa.
You make your own gimmick. And then all of a sudden I turn around and say, hey, by the way, your gimmick's not working, so let me rewrite everything you want to do. Why would I do that?
Look. Okay, so my thing is this. You don't have to rewrite. You can put the script into the hand of the wrestler.
But that's how WWE works.
No, we're not talking about WWE. We're talking about AEW and Tony Khan not sifting through what he has.
But you're
He's steady giving me juice with Pope. Bitch, I don't like Pope. I don't like Pope. Give me regular orange juice. I'm sorry, the lady downstairs.
But
give me orange juice. I don't like Pope. But you give me too much Pope.
Their company isn't based on that mindset.
You can drop a can of ass Pope and non-Pope.
You want me to throw a monkey wrench into this whole conversation
right
now?
No, don't use the term monkey. Just throw a wrench in there.
I'm going to throw a wrench.
Throw a fucking
wrist
in there. Why
do
you gotta be
like, no, I do not want that, sir. You know what
the
worst
the first thing that came to my mind was Frieza saying monkey.
And fucking monkey saying, god damn it.
And so you
think of saying wrench being thrown in and
you gotta cut this fucking monkey's tail off. He's dangerous.
The super ape. Alright. So I'll throw this in and I'll lob this in there. This is a grenade. And y'all can make whatever decision you want to make. Because this definitely involves Kirk. Dominique, you weren't in this conversation yet.
I wasn't here when Le Champion.
I just
became.
Bam.
AEW.
Pause. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. I argued last night with P-Fitz is Robin. I'm not going to do a good job right now. And I'm not going to go deeply into it either.
I feel like you are.
My whole argument last night kind of stemmed somewhere from the reality that I don't believe that Jericho, having been the inaugural AEW World Champion,
he wouldn't have been like
played that. Out to be what it was supposed to be. The argument at the time, without the hindsight of now, which P. Fitz and I both mutually understand, is that, okay, but at that time, Jericho was doing X, Y, Z, and he has this history and this legacy, and he is this particular person in wrestling and in music and in whatever the fuck, and he can weaponize that to elevate AEW. And my argument now is like, that was a shit. I understand the argument then. That was a shit argument then, in my opinion. It's a shit argument now. Because Jericho did not do anything for a year with that belt on his waist, didn't elevate the brand, didn't do a media tour, do a media scrum, didn't do the morning talk shows, didn't do anything to help elevate AEW. My argument is zero sum, everything being equal, because that's what the fuck all this is. It was all about wrestling fans. And wrestling fans are wrestling fans, and we're all here, and we're all gonna be here. And we're all here, and we're all gonna be here. Period. So why give it to Jericho when you could have given it to your original AEW member, Hangman Adam Page? Does he have the history, the legacy? No, he doesn't. But you know what he can do? and this is my argument back then, and still now, I feel this way even to this day. Heyman could have won that title, rode the wave with that title, and also been like, I beat Chris Jericho. And this is who Chris Jericho is. Like, I beat this guy. And we're doing something new and revolutionary for this fucking brand. Right? But Angel is like, you can't do that with a guy who doesn't exist, essentially. And Jericho does exist. But Jericho, in hindsight, did fucking nothing.
Okay.
Did fucking nothing with it.
So if we,
and now, hold on, let me add to that just real quick. Let me add to it. And now we got the CM Punk of it all. The MJF of it all. The fucking
CM Punk is a reason.
All of it. So, we got the all of what that is. So, you got this disgruntled locker room, you got this retard Tony Khan that owns the company. You got all these new and up and coming talent that are like, what the fuck, where's our turn? And you got, tonight you said it, you guys said it, we all watched it. All these WWE guys are taking up all this fucking oxygen all the fucking time. And your newest talent on your revolutionary brand doesn't even have fucking Cody Rhodes.
Wait.
It doesn't have the brain trust of Cody Rhodes.
And then She-Hulk was there too.
And then, so fuck it all. In my opinion, I love it. As a wrestling fan, I love it. But honestly, fuck it all. It was bullshit from day one.
I'll give you a better fucking Westman. Okay, so
that's my whole point. It's bullshit from day one. That's my whole point.
Everybody here, well, out of us four, do we know who EA Sports is?
Yes.
All right, so we know EA. Yeah, there is.
So we know
EA Sports bought the NFL because NFL 2K was becoming a better game at the time.
That's right.
They signed a 10-year deal.
That's right.
A lifetime.
Well, lifetime. Yeah.
So you know what that is?
For simulation.
No. That's WWE. Madden.
Yeah.
WWE. Now we have a time where regime changes and shit gets a little better, right? And then we have AEW. AEW is pretty much like if EA Sports lost the lifetime contract. Then we have another upcoming company making a football game that we haven't had in a long time.
Sure.
What does that do to the consumer?
You have options.
You have options, but also, if you're so used to this, and if you're so used to thin crust, then the motherfucker out the blue, like, bro, you ain't never had deep dish.
I never had deep dish. I've only.
Wait. Now you're like, damn, I'm kind of intrigued. So now you're watching AEW, and then AEW starts off doing the same shit that Madden did, but it's not as in your face. It's incremental. You start seeing shit. I remember they had like a winning and losing streak that actually mattered. Like a 23-0, 2-0. Motherfuckers actually win streak actually mattered in AEW.
Angel brought up a Tale of the Tape like 8 hours ago and I forgot that there's a Tale of the Tape.
No, but it mattered.
Angel brought it up like 8 hours ago. Seriously.
A year and a half ago.
That was Cardiff talk.
WWE talent that they acquired. The rules became a little imaginary then. It's like, you talk all that shit about the WWE and how they don't do shit by the books or how everything over there is sports entertainment, and you get WWE
talent,
and then you turn it into sports entertainment. You clutch what they were and you bring it into your company. Now, on top of that, everybody that you bring in that are looking at this shit is like, oh, I thought we wasn't fairy tale, motherfucker. TK, I thought we was here to do the real shit. You know what I'm saying? I thought this was this. But now you're bringing all these imaginary-ass WWE motherfuckers over here. And now we got this formulaic fucking fog somewhere. How the fuck does the House of Black work with AEW? It shouldn't.
No. Well, what it shows is that clearly that Cody was the only one in that company that had any real aspect of what future storytelling was.
Mm-hmm. Because he already
knew. Vision. You were saying vision. Yeah.
He was the only one that had a vision. Right. And to go back on what we were talking about last night, mm-hmm. at the time, it made sense. what happened during his title reign, I don't think you can blame Jericho for. That's a media tour that's run by Tony Khan and Cody.
Since May Dallas, and Tony ain't looked
I
bad.
Also don't think that Hangman should have been the first champion. I think it should have been, like we talked about last time, I think it should have been
I Cody. Thought it should have been Kenny.
Since
that was just
May Dallas.
Kenny or Cody. Yeah. It should have been one of Tony those two. That bad. Should have been the first feud.
Right.
Let Hangman simmer. Let him build up. Let him prove his worth. Because that only pays off in due time.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah. I agree. We agreed about that.
Yeah, yeah, and the only thing with like I said last night with the Jericho thing is that you can't have Jericho in a title match lose and then also build talent and be like, hey, by the way, I lost to Sammy Guevara, I lost to Orange Cassidy, I lost to MJF. Oh, by the way, I'm just a washed up WWE guy. Because then you bury his entire career.
Right. Right, so, right. And that's where we departed, cause, and I think this is where Kirk will clue in on this is
like I don't know why wrestling minds are like so fucking like you don't remember this shit. Is this not the same person?
But
as when you get older in wrestling, you're not the standout anymore. I'm sorry, Chris Jericho. This is why I have a problem with Chris. He steady tries to reinvent himself to be young. Nigga, you are the person that's supposed to put people
over. You're the old guard. I'm sorry. You're the old guard.
That's cute. That's cute if you want to still be like, yes, I'm Lionheart and all this, and you have those matches every once in a while. Steady trying to reinvent yourself to be young.
Right.
To not put over the new
talent. And taking up all the oxygen. But taking up all the my whole problem. Point is taking up all the, that, but taking up all the
it's
oxygen.
It's not about him being great.
If you were a Lionheart,
greatness. We're talking about him. Like, okay, I know I'm great. Now watch me like smother everything else and just be about Jericho. It's not about Jericho anymore.
What would you rather
he's 53.
Have? I think Kirk needs to speak. I know he's 53. I think Kirk.
I didn't
needs
know
to
he was 53. I just threw out a random old white either. Number.
Right.
It fucking aged fast. 51.
He's 51.
All was good.
Close enough. To three. My central part was Kirk, so I think Kirk needs to speak to this because now we got the benefits of hindsight. We've got time. We've seen where AEW's at now.
But you can't argue about hindsight and during the time.
We're talking about all of it though.
Putting the belt on Jericho, the thought process behind it still solid. The problem is the company did not follow through on any of its promises.
Mm-hmm.
And it completely lied about what it set out to do.
100%.
So it's supposed to be an alternative.
It's supposed to be an alternative.
Try to legitimize yourself so you get a legendary wrestler to initially hold your title.
That's right.
To give yourself time to build up the rest of your roster so you don't take it off it when you have your own roster. But they don't. They got a bunch of old WWE guys that win-loss matter doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And they followed. They grew too quickly. You got two shows going on.
No need.
Plus the YouTube stuff and all this.
The Elite channel on fucking YouTube.
You just end up feeling like a watered down version of a product that people already were upset with.
Yeah.
Right. You feel like a watered down product of the version of what we were already upset with.
So
like,
their storytelling, wrestling wise, it's fine. For the most part, it's really good. But you've turned yourself into a loser version of the WWE.
I would disagree with that. It was really good until Cody left. Once Cody left, everything went.
No, I feel like once Matt Hardy's head hit that fucking.
Oh, don't. Nope, I'm not gonna do it.
No,
I'm not gonna talk about it.
No, we don't have to go into it. Like it's a difference between like making a bulletin and. Diving into it, I'm not diving into shit. Like
yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. You're right. No. I agree.
How can you call yourself an alternative when all you're doing is signing old WWE guys?
No, it's not.
Period.
It's
period.
It's
period.
That
that's all you're doing.
It's that too. 100%. But also, it's like
there's no doubt about that.
I feel like why. WWE,
and not doing
I feel
any
like
service.
Why WWE
either.
Works so much is because sometimes you have a wrestler that was a wrestler that knows how the crowd works. That knows how shit works in the ring, as opposed to having a fanboy. Now, if we had like a wrestling thing, of course we'd be like, "Oh, this match is great," and we all have, well, you guys, three. I'm just here. I'm just funny. You guys have a great wrestling mind, right? You guys could put some shit together. But
no, we all got great wrestling. We're all wrestling fans.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
but look, it's what happens when you don't have a person that sees other than. I just want to see this match. Why do you want to see this match? You think it's a great match? What was the build up?
Right.
AEW doesn't have that sometimes. They just have a whole bunch of people and they're like,
But that's the exact same thing that people are complaining about WWE about.
Yeah.
Especially 2-3 years ago, that they were hoarding all this talent. Mm-hmm. They had all these good wrestlers.
Embarrassed for the riches was the exact quote.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So WWE started cutting these guys. AEW signed them all, and they're doing all the same shit.
And then they were like, oh, why would you cut all these wrestlers?
Andrade, Adam Cole, fucking
Miro.
Rusev.
Group of people that it was. Cesaro. Everyone, the same core people. This person would be great here. No, it's not.
And we're not going to bring up that Miro wasn't wrestling for like 3 fucking months until like last week.
More than 3 months, but yes.
For 3 minutes.
So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Exactly.
So like Miro was one of the ones that went over there for a chance.
And hold on. Let's vacuum that real quick. Aleister Black. No. Vacuum that. Vacuum the dark. Malakai Black bullshit. Malakai Black asked for his fucking release.
Yeah, he did.
He's since asked for his release and been denied.
No, from AEW?
Yes. No, I think and since been denied. And they like worked out something allegedly in air quotes. But I don't think that's a real thing.
I saw a tweet when we were in the car and they were saying how Malakai kissed everyone in the ring after his match and then. And
tonight?
Yeah, right. And blew a kiss to the crowd. Like, right. He's done. Andrade's done. I think Andrade's contract is done.
Malakai Black is like, I'm done. Like, and it's just like.
But, like what done?
These guys are in a match together and they're former WWE guys that everybody was hype about. And they both said.
But it also says, let Kirk get it out.
You're supposed to be the alternative. You did the exact same thing, but worse.
Yeah.
It's a new generation.
I think what Dominique said,
it's a new generation.
Was the turning point.
Trips was like, everybody's like,
Trips tried, but.
No, no. Okay, so. People didn't like Vince because Vince was like, he just had this.
He's just old and
senile. No, he's just old and in his way, and it's hard to get old people out of their ways. I don't give a fuck what you say. Besides all the $14 million and all that shit.
Yeah.
It's hard to get old people out their ways. You get Trips as opposed to Tony. Exactly what I'm saying. You
exactly.
A wrestler that knows how matches work, that knows pops, that kind of
And that's
out.
Key. That a wrestler who's done the shit.
That's why I said, like, us four will have a great, but you also need somebody that knows how to set shit up. Tony doesn't have that. On top of that, when he did, he had Jericho. He wanted it all about himself. Cody didn't want it all about himself. He wanted it about story. And
Cody was the architect.
No, Cody wanted it about story and making shit work and building foundation. He left because that went astray somewhere.
Well, no,
the shit that Cody wanted to implement in AEW left. That's why he left.
Done.
And then on top of that, now that Vince is gone and they see Trips, most people had a better fucking relationship with Trips than fucking Vince because
ever.
You can actually kind of...
Well, you could talk.
You can have a heart-to-heart. You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Right.
Heart-to-heart.
Heart.
So, but I think you pointed out, we all saw the turning point when the Matt Hardy incident happened, when Cody no longer, after that, that was a dark shadow on Cody's booking. And I think that's when his booking was taken away from him. They're like, no, we're not. Because you saw Cody go all the way off from TV after that. You saw him start bringing in everybody else. Because the Matt Hardy acquisition was a good acquisition. The Brody Lee acquisition was a good acquisition. Those were two guys that came in and they were going to bring something different.
Matt Hardy has no business.
Matt Hardy didn't bring shit.
That was the beginning.
He didn't bring shit in because...
And that was the beginning of the end, for real.
I don't think so.
He became a manager. He wasn't even like a wrestler.
This was after that, though. He was a wrestler in the beginning.
When he first came in, when you had him and Brody, it made perfect sense to have Dark Order versus Broken Matt Hardy.
That did.
That was all Cody's ass.
So where does Sammy Guevara fit into that? Why is the Inner Circle fit into that?
No.
Because you made Jericho.
But the inner Circle was fine. Whether you liked it or not, it did its job of elevating talent that wasn't household names. Right? Because for most people that tuned into to AEW, that came from the WWE audience and they saw Jericho, they were like, who's this Sammy Guevara? Who's this Santana Ortiz? They knew Jake Hager.
Right.
But Jake Hager wasn't on every single match at the time.
Mac and cheese.
And so you had, and Jericho really wasn't wrestling most of the time in that time. But then after,
wait, your glasses are right there. Cheese.
After that stadium stampede match, when we saw Matt Hardy take that nasty bump, that's when you started to see the reins being pulled away from Cody. And I think, and not knowing
the reins roaming, the reins are just roaming away.
And not knowing what was happening back then, I think that's what was. They were like, "Hey, Cody, you're booking unsafe matches. You're booking this. We're not going to let you do this anymore." And I think that's when Cody put his hands up and said, "Listen, you guys think you can do it better? Then do it better."
I don't know for a fact, and I'm just my contrary user. I don't know for a fact. Period. I don't know what the fuck Cody booked or didn't book. I have no fucking idea. The Matt Hardy incident, period, as an incident, I don't give a fuck who the booker was. Cody, Kenny, whoever. It wasn't Kenny. T. For sure. Teresa could have booked that fucking match. I don't give a fuck who booked that match with Matt Hardy. When Matt Hardy's head hit that fucking floor off the forklift by a Sammy Guevara, that was a fucking problem.
Hold on, boss. That was
a fucking problem that this fucking weird little imp of Tony Khan, the multi-billionaire, did not fucking handle appropriately or accordingly. And I hearken to think that maybe he would have had more resources. I don't know. I don't want to give him any excuses. Maybe he would have had more resources behind him if it were like the Jacksonville Jaguars versus like professional wrestling. Like, I don't know why he dropped the ball in such a monumental way, but he fumbled in a monumental way. And you're a guy who's a multi-billionaire who owns a football team, and you let this guy who suffered multiple concussions suffer a tremendous concussion from 17 feet in the air to the floor. Like, it may, like, I do not understand why he could not handle that in a professional, real way. He never fucking did.
I don't understand why he let that mask.
I don't
understand why he let that mask.
The mask continued.
But John, and we're saying the same thing, though. I think that was a turning point of when, like I said, the reins were taken away from Cody as, quote unquote, the head.
I don't know if it was clear or not. It doesn't matter if it was clear or not. It doesn't matter who the fuck the booker was. When that happened, boom, you gotta own that. You gotta eat all of that. Because your audience is us. Your audience is the guys who are 25 to 35 years old, on the internet, on the line, on the demographic, which Chris Jericho capitalized on like 18 months later, 2 years later, being like, I'm the master of the demo, the 21 to 49 demo, whatever the fuck the demo was. I don't give a fuck about the demo. Whatever the fuck the demo was. That's the demo that's online. It's looking at all this shit and being like, yo, fucking Matt Hardy is fucked up. His wife is tripping balls over this injury, and this is a fucking problem. And he's got 3 or 4 kids at home. Like, and all I'm saying is, at that point, fuck the wrestling shit.
This
is me personally. Fuck the wrestling shit. As a professional, you got to address this professionally for real. Like, if all these adults are in the room online, you gotta address that shit professionally for real. That shit was pathetic. That was pathetic.
Why is it so hard for these motherfuckers? Like, first of all, the people who are gonna talk shit to you, they don't even exist to you.
Right.
Yeah, I don't.
Sure. So my point is, you could just be like.
But maybe not to Tony Khan. Maybe not to Tony Khan. Maybe not to Tony Khan.
Because he's a bitch.
Yeah, but that's the point. He's in charge.
Right, no, but my thing
and is, all the facts said maybe. I don't know.
Even if that's the case, you didn't have to go live.
No, he's a
You could have got a camera in front
of.
So what's the name? And been like, yeah, hi, I'm Tony. We kind of fucked up last night.
Or Matt something.
Hardy really hit his head. And I take full sponsorship over what happened. I'm sorry that. Whatever. Whatever the fuck you got to do.
Right,
he could have did that. But he didn't.
He didn't.
Oh, yeah, Matt Hardy said he gave me a thumbs up. The nigga was fucking. He don't know what he did. You could have asked him, you want a triple double?
Can I piggyback? Real quick. Let me piggyback on that real quick. The second part of that is Dr. Samson. Dr. Samson is there. Yeah, I got a thumbs up. I thought he was okay. I gave him clearance. Are you fucking serious? Wait a minute. Years later, a few years later, you build CM Punk, who sued the WWE and a WWE doctor being Z-packed, in air quotes, to death. CM Punk said, I was Z-packed to death, but the WWE doctor, so I sued them. That doctor lost his job, probably his license, I have no fucking idea. But you hire the CM Punk guy, and you don't think back to this Dr. Samson situation with Matt Hardy and say, wait a minute, let me get myself some fucking professional cover here. You, Dr. Samson, you gotta go. Or, back then, by the way, at the same time, you were jockeying for a position to get CM Punk, and CM Punk is like suing WWE. You didn't think, like, wait a minute, this is a fucked up situation where a wrestler was unprotected, similar to CM Punk, similar to this guy, the greatest guy in all of wrestling the last 8 years, who's not been wrestling for 8 years.
Who?
Fucking CM Punk. CM Punk. Right. Like, the all, my point is this. The ilk, the shit of all of that, and you didn't think to yourself for a fucking second, I need to protect my wrestlers, myself, my company, my brand, my history, and everything, and say, we need to address this fucking issue before we get a CM Punk in this company who will address it for me.
Let me,
it all comes down to it. CM Punk got like $50 million from WWE.
But if they really wanted to do that, the real solution is you take a step back before the match starts.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
Who wants to watch Matt Hardy in this match? Why is Matt Hardy wrestling in this type of match?
Right.
Who wants to see this?
Why is it a cinematic match and you still get injured?
Who wanted to see that? Who wanted to see Matt Hardy?
Not me?
Where's this big section of people who wanted alternate wrestling that were clamoring to see Matt Hardy?
Dude, at that point, my girlfriend, who I love, right here on the couch, she was new to wrestling. She was still just like, what the fuck was that?
We were here watching it.
Teresa was like, what the fuck?
Bro, we were here watching
when Sammy went through Matt Hart, that shit was terrible. I was embarrassed to be watching wrestling in that moment.
We were all here.
My girlfriend's like, what the fuck is that shit? Bro, we're all here. Smacked his head on the floor.
He smacked his head. He got the fucking thumbs up, right?
Out of it.
Sammy didn't even want to touch him.
But like I said,
that's his opponent. They kayfabe hated each other at the moment.
But like I said, the acquisition of Matt Hardy made sense at
the acquisition, but like, why would you put him in that fucking match?
Nobody wants to see
There's
him
no match to put him in.
Nobody wants to see him wrestle. So,
no, that's not true. Because
shit.
That's not true. Because
who did?
Okay, let me ask you something. Because have you wanted to see Matt Hardy? Let me ask you something.
Okay, but
the last Matt Hardy that I wanted to see wrestle was version one.
No, that's not true.
It is.
Because Matt Hardy, coming before he showed up at WrestleMania in Orlando, him and Jeff as Broken Matt Hardy was the hottest thing in wrestling. So you coming back and looking
at the
House of Hardy match.
Okay, so is a gimmick a wrestler?
But
no, a gimmick is who people fall into it with. I don't, like, I can say I love Stone Cold, but do I want to see him wrestle today? I don't.
But Dominique, there's...
Okay, so that's the difference between a gimmick and a wrestler. But just because I like Broken Matt Hardy as a gimmick, that don't mean I want to see his hobbly, broke-leg-ass wrestle. Nobody has ever been in a match like, oh, let's go, Matt Hardy. No fucking body. Even
right,
when Jeff
cover.
Came back.
You need cover. And Jeff...
even when Jeff
Matt Hardy
came,
did not have the
no,
cover.
No, even when Jeff came back.
Can I finish what I was
go
saying?
Ahead, go ahead.
So when you look back at his TNA run, the thing
let's
that...
Let's talk about AEW.
I listened to
him. Right, but let him have
it. The thing that was so good about it was the cinematic matches, and that's what Matt Hardy brought to AEW when
this
he was hired. The House of Hardy match was a safe match that he did, and it was phenomenal when you go back. Even to this day, when you look at it, and it's so phenomenal that WWE did it the same way to end Undertaker's career.
And they did it better.
And that was
unfortunately.
Horrible.
They did it better.
They did it better.
And why did they do it better?
More than one time, though.
Because
they did it better.
Because
though.
When you look at
the House of Horror, the would. Fucking your boy
Bray Wyatt
John Cena.
And Bray House of Horror. That was the second time. The first time was Bray Wyatt and the fucking
Wyatt
family versus the New Day. That was the first time.
And when did that happen?
It was on the heels of
it was
the original.
2 months after. So when you look at what he could have brought,
okay.
It was a smart decision to bring him because you now had an opportunity to say, hey, we're going to have a
right.
visionary, because that's what Matt Hardy, say what you want about
him. He is
smart when it comes to things like that.
Right.
When innovating matches, first of all, he came up with the TLC, came up with the triple threat ladder match. He came up with 90% of those okay. matches in the 2000s.
All right.
He came up with this cinematic style match that no one okay. had done before. That match itself
right.
was poorly produced.
Wait. Okay, so I'm just trying to figure out one thing. I never spoke about this motherfucking man. I spoke about his matches. I didn't talk about what he created.
This is the exact...
I'm talking about him as being like people in the thing wanting to see...
This is the exact problem, right? And what makes AEW as unprofessional as it is, because everything you said about Matt's true, right?
Yeah.
So if you actually want to bring in that vision,
I don't mean to.
No,
it's very
true. If you actually want to bring in that vision,
no, it's not just
and that asset for your company, then use it appropriately instead of not having the wherewithal and the discipline.
But I'm not
to be
arguing
like,
about that. What I'm saying is. To your comment on who wanted to see Matt Hardy, I was there at WrestleMania Orlando when they came out as a surprise entrant, and I saw 100,000 people stand up on their feet. There was 100,000 people that said, I want to see Matt Hardy. I not only Matt Hardy, I want to see broken Matt Hardy.
Okay.
And then when we had three years of the debacle of awoken Matt Hardy, and then we had this opportunity to see back to that TNA run, that was the prospect that came. And I think that match... And I cannot say with certainty, I think that's when we saw that Cody no longer was able to book the matches that we saw, and that's when we saw the downfall of the storylines. You can literally pinpoint to that match, is when AEW started to unravel his wins because of the exact same things that you said.
Right.
Because Tony Khan didn't take the initiative to say, hey, this is what happened. We had a serious incident. He didn't stop the match. That match should have been pre-recorded. That match
should have been.
But
this is the guy that you brought in to do these matches. And you injure the motherfucker in his own match.
No, I hear what Pat's saying. I think the part that's being lost is...
You're placing the blame of it on someone that's being asked to do something rather than the people that are actually controlling who's asking him to do it. If you are an employee of a company, and just like it happens with WWE, and we've seen it time and time again, we saw it today on the NXT show. We said that those guys that won the NXT UK titles seemed like a really good tag team. They did some good stuff. Their gimmick fucking sucks. But if you come in and you're saying, hey, you guys got to do this, do drop. You come into Vince's office and he's like, well, I'm not going to call you Piper because we already had a Piper. I'm going to call you Doudrop. What are you going to say? No.
But also,
you
just told me Tony doesn't have this whole thing. He lets people do what they want to do.
No.
He let people do what they want to do.
For their gimmick. But for planning the match is where Tony needs to step up and say.
He does, but this is what he hired Matt for.
But
you see what I'm saying? So you want Tony to hire the talent.
You can't run a company like that.
You can't.
I'm not disagreeing with
you. Can't do it.
I'm just saying the reason why that these acquisitions happen. Where for these people's skill sets, they just fail to adhere to their skill sets.
That's not the way they run a company, though.
So after Matt Hardy left TNA.
Because you said to yourself, like, when you were in Orlando.
Yeah,
right?
that was a gimmick.
Yes.
So what year was that?
That was a fucking gimmick.
2016.
Right.
So 4 years later, you're talking about Matt Hardy who's already old 4 years later. Who wanted to see
that was a
Matt
gimmick.
Hardy.
No, you. There
I'm
was,
not, but I'm like, I legitimately asked, like, who wanted to see Matt Hardy?
Oh, everyone.
No. Let me ask you something. Did you want to see him?
In New Orleans with WrestleMania in New York. And how many times did the Hardy Boys come out and everyone starts screaming
okay.
to me?
Okay.
We wanted.
Let me rephrase. Who wanted to see? Who seriously wanted to see Matt Hardy? And be legitimately clamoring for an alternative to WWE, which is what AEW is supposed to be.
At the same time,
most people in that those events
doesn't make those things don't make sense.
Right,
you can't be clamoring for. Matt Hardy's. That's one thing. If you're going to build your company the right way and keep it true to your vision, what you're saying, then they'll open the door and doing that.
But if
you want to hire
Matt
Hardy. And use him for his vision, use him for these matches, the cinematic matches, great.
That's
but
right.
then just because he's like, well, I want to wrestle, you're saying, okay, use him whatever you want. You can't run
There's
a company
no,
that way.
Disagreement with you on that. I'm not disagreeing about the fumbling of the management. But you as a talent, when you have an opportunity, you cannot say and turn around and say, hey, Matt, do you want to wrestle
so,
with Matt?
So, and you say no. Hold on. So I got to ask a question. And I think Dominique wants to ask this question too.
The point is, I think, we have to separate the gimmick from the wrestler. That's the thing. If you want to say, I don't like R. Kelly because he pissed on bitches, that's fine. But I like Steph in the Name of Love. That's the fucking... That's what we're saying. You said 100,000 people wanted to see Broken Matt Hardy. Did they want to see him wrestle or did they want to see the gimmick?
Well, hold on. So I will piggyback that with this.
That's all I'm saying. So, the gimmick separates from the wrestler.
It does. And no, I will say this. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So I will.
Matt Hardy hasn't had a good match. He hasn't. Let's keep it a buck. He hasn't been 100%.
Just like Christian and Edge.
Listen, his fucking leg is shot. All his moves are slow. His fucking twist of fate ain't twisting. Let's stop living in fucking nostalgia. This shit is trash, bro. So if you want to say, I like the gimmick of Matt Hardy, that's fine. But to say I bought fucking tickets to AEW just for fucking Matt Hardy, you're fucking lying.
But no one's saying that.
But you're saying that people wanted to see Matt Hardy. They wanted to see the gimmick, not Matt Hardy. Delete is great, not in a ring. The in-ring Matt Hardy. That's the difference between the gimmick and the person. Matt Hardy comes out like this. So, he doesn't wrestle like that.
He's right.
Did you ever see the Young Bucks versus the Hardy Boys match pre WrestleMania 33?
No, because I wasn't watching
wrestling then. But that's pre. We're talking about post. Like, okay, so if I got my no, I'm not even gonna go there right now.
Can I
Can I put both of y'all together?
Because I get what both of you are trying to say right now. What I think Pete Fist is trying to say is, yes, people want to see Matt Hardy. I think what Pete Fist is missing, the fact is, what you are saying. The gimmick of delete means a lot. It's the same thing if you want to...
It's
wanted,
greater
like,
and lesser than.
It's the same thing as if you want to put, like, Stone Cold, by the way, hold on.
I just said that.
Who we trotted out...
I just said that.
Vince McMahon.
But I don't want to see him wrestle.
Exactly. Vince McMahon trotted out Stone Cold Steve Austin for 15, 20 years just to do a stunner, a hell yeah, a fucking beer toast, and a salute.
What?
Right, like, and that is the equivalent, I would say, to a delete. That is the equivalent to that. And that's where it stops. But that is also, and I think that I'm trying to say this, that's also the difference between WWE and AEW. Is AEW is like, we are different, and we're going to give you the all of it, the full package. But the reality is...
Because the full package can't wrestle.
The reality is the full package cannot perform and meet your expectations that way. And if they attempt or try to do that, they will end up hurt. They will end up discombobulated or disabled. Like, they cannot give you this... without certain parameters being in place. And we didn't have that with Matt Hardy at all. So, from my perspective as a fan, like a diehard fan, I love Matt Hardy. He has a beautiful fucking mind. I did not know fully...
Let's take the mind out.
...his limitations on physically wrestling in the ring. I didn't realize that.
You didn't see it when he came down? This nigga been walking like this for 10 years.
More than 10 years. But he wrestled like that pretty much all his kind of life.
He wrestled on AEW Dark 3 days ago.
Which I did not see.
Why?
Which exactly is a big question mark. And with that information, with that data, why the fuck would you allow this guy to continue 3 or 4 or 5 days later and be on a main event show in a main event spot?
Because you're a fanboy. Like, you literally have to be fans of these motherfuckers to steady put them in these positions.
But even as a fanboy, you gotta be like responsible.
He's waiting for Jeff Hardy to get back right so he can introduce him and bring Matt Hardy back to the
And
thing.
We know Jeff so Hardy ain't right. No, and we know Jeff Hardy ain't right.
This is my thing, right? So,
right.
This
so
is
I understand.
Why I say you
I
need
understand.
Somebody that has a wrestling mind, not somebody that's just a fanboy.
I think I'm saying what both of you are saying. Kind of is what I'm saying is let.
No, I think you're just trying to be a mediator.
Let Matt Hardy just be a wrestling mind. Yeah. He doesn't need to be in the ring at all. But I agree with that. I don't think he got hired just for his mind.
He should have just got.
But can y'all both kind of understand that right now? I think he got hired for the wrong shit.
At the same time,
for the wrong guy.
At the same time,
but his limitation. The truth is, it should have just mine.
No, I don't think Matt Hardy should ever wrestle on live television.
Cause you know who ain't going. By the way, here's another example. Sting.
No. Sting had one fucking West Indies matches.
Sting had one buckle bomb.
No, what's this shit? No, what's this match?
Back it up, though.
Cinematic match.
But back it up.
Sting had one. Back it up.
He
still wrestles, even though it's chops and punches and fucking stinger splashes and shit.
But it ain't the same. But fuck that. Because Sting ain't really doing that. Let's just be honest. Who the fuck Sting is?
He's chopping and punching.
And that's about it. But that's about it.
Was that cinematic match?
No. I'm gonna tell you how good the match was.
Wait, but
Sting go away to take three fucking big boots to the face while he's in a fucking Scorpion Deathlock because of the legend known as Sting, right? Not because of Sting.
But that's not the match. I'm talking about the match with
him. We just seen him today.
I'm talking about the cinematic match with him and Darby Allin, the first one, when they're in the warehouse. How good was that match?
That was great.
Okay, so you get Matt
Hardy. But he has more good matches outside of that. Sting has good matches outside of the cinematic match.
I'm not talking about that. We were talking about hiring Matt Hardy, and if you put him in the right matches, in the way that he originally...
But they didn't.
That's the point.
He doesn't need to be in those
matches. I'm not disagreeing with you either.
I'm not. He just doesn't need to be in those matches.
The point is the company... Doesn't have that vision. The company
has failed the wrestlers for the people that they hired,
yes,
and not putting them in the right situation.
That's the problem.
Sometimes I feel
like that's the problem.
Look, to be this visionary, like new Khan, alternative,
revolution, new alternative.
I feel like the only reason they will be that is if somebody puts their foot down and nobody fucking does.
We're all saying the same thing.
Yes,
right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's the problem with the company.
But the idea of saying that, like, you can't hire someone because no one cares about it, it's just not true.
No one said that. All I said was
separate the gimmick from the wrestler.
Nobody said nobody cared about Matt Hardy.
It's not that people don't care about Matt Hardy.
Who wanted to see Matt Hardy jumping off a...
Nobody. I don't want to see him jump off the
middle. I agree with you.
I don't want to see him jump off the middle turnbuckle and do this. And he's hurting his leg.
The second you open that door and start putting him in that match, you're doing the same thing with everybody else. Now there's this open door. Exactly. And, I'm going to bring you in because you were misusing you. And then it's like, you didn't have a good last match here.
We can give you a cinematic match. Now everything is cinematic. I don't want to see that.
And I think that was a turning point. Of when, because I can almost, and I don't know for sure, obviously, but I think almost guaranteed that was the turning point where the Young Bucks and Kenny stood up to Cody and said, hey, we've wrestled.
We gotta stop saying shit like that, though, because we don't know those facts. This is the fact that I will say. Hold on. Here's a real objective material fact that I think no one wants to agree with, but this is the reality. Matt Hardy should have had just as strong or solid a contract as Jake the Snake fucking Roberts. You don't get to be in the fucking ring. We don't need to see you in the fucking ring. We want to use your intellect and your mind. The reality is even me to a certain point, because I didn't know what I didn't know, like, I wanted to see Matt Hardy in the ring and see what he could do. I didn't care that much either that he should risk his life and fall 18 feet off a forklift via Sammy Guevara spear. I didn't think that was the right move either.
Yeah.
But I think somewhere in the middle of that, before I can think about it, talk about it, discuss it, AEW should have done their homework to say, Matt Hardy, we're not going to have you do X, Y, Z. This is your limitations. We're going to try to operate within these confines of your limitations. And that's where we're going to go. And AEW said, no. We're going to go. We're going to sign him to a contract. He's a wrestler. He's a wrestler's wrestler. We love him as a wrestler.
The bottom line is, they botched the whole thing. Company,
that's right.
You're this visionary company that's going to be the alternative, right?
That's right. That's right.
We all agree that that match, that night specifically.
I think that's the turning point. I really think that's the turning point.
First bad pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
That's my turning point, professionally. Yeah, I don't know how we got stuck on it for 15 minutes, but that's my turning point.
The problem wasn't the match itself. The problem was the decisions to put the,
yeah,
put
how them it was at handled. Home.
So that was the first time you saw the crack, and as a fan, you realize these guys don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if like I said,
that's
if
not how the crack.
Trust.
That's not how the crack.
Like
sure.
I said, if that match was pre-recorded.
That's not how the crack.
100% pre-recorded, and that happened. It's a casualty of work, right? That's what happened. You had this spot. It didn't go right.
But it's not a necessary casualty.
I
they should have been in that spot.
But that's also kind of how every casualty in wrestling is the same way.
He should have been in that spot.
I don't disagree, but I'm saying that match is...
His wife said as much and
but
really
if,
fought
but if
hard
you
as much.
Pre-record that match and you get rid of that segment and you come out and say, hey, this is what happened, and you could have made a storyline out of it. You could have said, you could have had Matt Hardy, you could have shown the clip of where that was cut out and say, hey, this is what happened, I was injured, I got injured after this. However you play it, if that was pre-recorded, that could have changed the trajectory of how it was story told and how the company was seen afterwards. But instead, what happened is they did it live, and it didn't need to be live. It should have been a cinematography.
Especially since there's nobody in the fucking stadium.
Yeah, it was the middle of COVID.
You're wrestling in the backstage anyway.
Because when you look at matches like like the Undertaker-AJ match, that was phenomenal. Even when you look at it in a much more smaller spot, the one
John Cena and Bray?
No, the Good Brothers when they did their match.
Oh, that shit was beautiful.
Like
that shit was beautiful.
And so you could have done this great match that came up with safe spots with safe wrestlers, but it said you wanted to do it live for X, Y, and Z reason. It's a failure on management, but you as a talent that you're hired, you can't say no in that situation.
No, Matt Hardy's gonna jump off a building if you let him.
Yeah, if you let him, he's
a company. You have to have the foresight to be like, no, man.
So,
how about you write this out for one of these? You want to do this match, or you want to do it live? How about we pick someone? You have picked some talent that you want to bring up.
Right.
But we're not letting you do
it. I mean, I'm just building right now at work.
But
y'all won't let me. I'm sorry.
No, it's a mismanagement of the company, and I think, I know you don't want to get into that,
cheeks.
But like, I really think that that's a turning
look at me.
Point because when you
look
when
at me.
You look at the matches
cheeks.
That. In the beginning of AEW that you knew for fact that Cody booked, those matches are the ones that we still talk about today. You look at Cody versus Dustin, you look at, I don't know what anyone says, the original Jericho versus Hangman match was fucking great. You look at all the matches.
That was trash.
No, that match was great. When you look at the matches that Cody single-handedly has come on and said he booked, in comparison to the ones that Tony Khan, the Young Bucks, and everyone
else. I just gotta say, when it comes to that, and I respect that you know that, I don't know those things, so I can't argue from those standpoints at all.
Stop
it. I can't.
Thank God.
That's right. I can't do
step
it.
Step one.
But I
don't know what those matches are. I honestly don't think they really matter. But I mean, I don't know.
But you saw it turn, and when there's smoke, there's fire. And after after that match, you saw a debacle of matches and debacle of storylines, and you saw that, like, and granted the Brody Lee thing happened, whatever, like, unfortunately it happened, I feel sorry for it, but you saw a collapse of probably the biggest heel faction that was there, right? And it was the most interesting was the Inner Circle good? Not really, but did it elevate other talent? Of course. You cannot say that the Inner Circle didn't elevate Sammy, didn't elevate Santana or the team.
Well, you wanted more than your coffee.
Were they already popular among us fans? Yeah, but like... Like I said, at the time, AEW's motive was to take NXT fans. They were head-to-head. So it was, let's build some characters so that we could take this share of people that are now splitting this show on our same night and move to our area.
Right.
And as a business, it made sense. And did that match make sense? No. I'm not arguing the match made sense. Like I said. But in, like I said before, I pulled up the numbers last night. Jericho creating an 80% buy rate.
Oh my God, Pete Fitz. Why are you back here, Pete Fitz? God damn it.
Is 100,000 people standing up to see the broken Matt Hardy character? Not, like, you can't ignore that.
I can. Because it's a gimmick. It's not the person.
No, it is
just because a bunch of people cheer for it doesn't mean you want to see.
Bro,
it
people are like, I'm funny, but some people are like, I'm a fucking idiot.
What I'm saying is you as a business person, when you see numbers presented in front of you that show that there's an 80% buy rate for Jericho to have a title,
this is between you guys, by the way.
When you have,
I think
you guys align on this. I disagree.
It all depends what number.
But you guys align.
But what's your goal? So what's your goal?
And that's my that's my point. That's my point. That's my point.
On public television, your goal is to make money. Every company's goal is to make money.
Okay.
Right.
And so when you look at things that are pointing towards a direction to make money, to sell more tickets, to get fans to come in and say, hey, I really like this character that was on the indie scene that the BTE had done right before All In came in,
right,
and it created a lot of eyes on BTE, and all of a sudden they showed up at WWE, and we got to have a sour taste in our mouth because of the lawsuit that was against Matt Hardy and TNA, and we want to go back to that way. There was a lot of fans that tuned in to see who was going to debut. I remember watching that vividly. I remember watching Twitter vividly, and when Brody Lee came out.
You was watching Twitter?
Yes, I always did. Bro, I'm a numbers guy. So when it comes up to seeing what's trending, I'm always looking to see what's trending.
And I do believe what he said, and this is part of our argument last night.
And when you saw that Brody Lee came out,
right,
and people were disappointed it wasn't Matt, and all of a sudden the trending changed from AEW to just Matt Hardy, that's a huge turning point. That's free advertisement.
I think that's what you and Kurt agree.
No.
That's what I think.
What day?
I think that's what you and Kirk agree is the Chris Jericho of it all. I don't, but I think what you guys agree.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't disagree with you.
I think that's what you guys agree.
I
agree on that shit, but
I'm saying as a business mindset, you have to look at what makes money.
Yeah. Seriously, go, dude.
Yeah, go ahead. Matter of fact, I won't
use
it.
Hey, don't be a fucking retard, bro. Are you Matt Hardy right now?
That's
right. Are you fucking Tony Khan right now?
Tony Khan is the worst.
Jesus Christ.
Tony Khan is the worst. And you know this for talking with me for fucking almost 4 years on wrestling every week.
That's right.
I'm a big Eric Bischoff guy, and if Eric Bischoff doesn't support Tony Khan,
I do love Eric Bischoff.
He's the smartest man in wrestling.
My views are skewed. I come from a place of I don't dive into wrestling as much as you do. I don't pay attention to the numbers as much as you do. I'm not as passionate as you are.
That's bullshit.
No.
He's bullshit.
No.
I'll call it out right now.
No. Don't call me bullshit.
Not the numbers.
Me bullshit until I finish. I'm not. I'm more of a.
You're a fan.
No. I'm more of an angel. Like I pay attention to everything, but I don't let it consume me.
Yeah, you're at a surface level.
Yeah, I'm here. I don't go below unless I really like the person. And when I say it's literally gimmick versus person, that's with anything. That doesn't even have to be with Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
That can just be in real life. Some people's gimmicks are better than their person. You might who a person is, who you believe they are, as opposed to who they really are. And that's where I'm going. Like, yes, it was 100,000 people there to see Broken Matt Hardy. You know why? Because they fell in love. Not with the actual Matt Hardy. They were probably fans before. They probably indulged and watched all his TLC matches and had the nostalgia in the back of their head. They probably didn't know that he was the mastermind behind those matches, but they did love the matches. And even the Hardy boys, guess who was the face? It wasn't fucking Matt.
No, it was Jeff.
It was Jeff. Not saying that he was the brains. Jeff was the face. So if Matt was
just like
the
Christian is the face of Edwin Christian.
Sure, if you want
Jesus
to say,
Christ,
sure, if you want to say Gangrel didn't exist. Listen.
You're right, Gangrel didn't exist.
What I'm basically saying is not that Matt Hardy sucks. That never was the point. Is that if you come up with a good gimmick that people buy into, they want to see the gimmick. They can give a fuck about how the match is. I've watched matches, like when I say Stone Cold is my favorite wrestler, but do I want to see him wrestle now?
No. Did I really want to see him after he wrestled, after his neck broke? No, because Stone Cold himself said, you know, after I broke my neck, I know I couldn't be the guy that's power slamming and doing all this, so I had to either be a technician or learn how to tell a story with my punches. And that's what
he did.
Right? So Matt Hardy's never learned how to tell a story with any of that. You just liked.
So
you just like the gimmick. That's what I'm saying. It's not like people didn't want to see Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy is attached to the gimmick, but the gimmick is what got people, those 100,000
invested.
Is what got him invested. Like, yeah. like motherfuckers might be like, who is Dominique? I don't know that nigga, but I know Macaroni. That's a gimmick.
But this
Macaroni is a gimmick. He Fitz is a gimmick. Swanks is a gimmick. Kurt is a gimmick.
To the same sword. So it's like, you can't look at something in one lens, right? You can't say
I look at a fisheye.
But you're not. and there's nothing wrong with it.
No, it is fisheye.
Like you just said, you're not looking at it in the finer details behind it. You're looking You're looking at it as
not what I'm looking at, but what's the finer details behind what I'm looking at?
That in 2016 okay. or 2015, 2016, 2017, that when the Hardy Boys went on their reign for collecting all the tag team golds,
okay,
that they were the number one selling or number one drawing independent draw.
Okay, so Hardy Boys is a gimmick.
Was
there both brothers, real brothers, unlike fucking Christian and Edge, but mm-hmm. they're brothers, and the Hardy Boys is a gimmick, even though Broken Matt is a gimmick as opposed to regular Jeff Hardy.
No,
because Jeff Hardy is broken too.
I'm not, yes, but I'm not arguing with you on that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is
the finer details, which is
when you're looking at a gimmick in wrestling, it's
right?
not like an actor. It's not like taking Robert Pattinson and Christian Bale and comparing which Bruce Wayne is better. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen wrestling try to do that before,
okay,
and take a gimmick that worked mm-hmm. and put it with another actor, and it doesn't.
Yeah, like Kane, and they flipped it. No, it was the Tooth Nigga. What was his name? Kane was the Dr. Tooth.
I lied.
Dr. Yankum, and then he tried to be Diesel.
Exactly.
He tried to be fake Diesel, and that shit didn't work with the fake Razor Ramon.
And what happened?
It didn't work.
Those are two of the most drawing gimmicks,
mm-hmm.
and you try to reuse those gimmicks with different actors,
right.
It doesn't work. Wrestling has this weird dichotomy where there's the lines are much more blurred between the actor and the gimmick.
Agreed.
So when you look at it and say, like what your argument is saying, is the same thing that Vince said with Daniel Bryan when he said with the Yes Chant. They're getting over because of the chant, not because of your in-ring work, which we all know as fans is not true.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not looking at everything that happened before what was on main television, it's hard to say that this idea of no one cared about it, the scene in the ring, because it's just not true.
Wait, man.
Like I said, but what we saw in the ring, though, with those
four years before he went back to WWE,
we saw pre-recorded matches where he was
different. That wire is yours.
And the things that were bad were cut out. And that's what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we wanted in AEW. That's just not what we got. So, this gimmick versus do we want to see Matt Hardy? We wanted to see Matt Hardy be the broken gimmick.
Get your phone away!
Because no one else could be the broken gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the shit that you do?
So, we just wanted to see it in the way that we knew that it worked.
Just own it, and then you can own it, and then
agree with you that we didn't get it.
Just give me your phone.
But the numbers show that the driving factor why it was done. Well, I see you tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Oh, I leave tomorrow.
You're gonna leave.
I leave at like 7 o'clock at night.
He's not doing nothing tomorrow. You're fine.
Yeah, he's doing nothing.
Want to get lunch, breakfast?
Whatever.
Hey, y'all should do shrimp and grits.
Are you gonna come too? You gotta work tomorrow.
We need to do some shrimp and grits. Wait, where are you at tomorrow?
I'm in my skin, nigga. What do you mean, bro?
But where are you at, though?
No. I think me and Norma are going over to fucking mom's house to have like a little arancera or some shit like that.
Arancera?
You got like an hour?
Yeah, of course. It's Wes.
Let me have one more.
Kanye?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, it's okay. West, so we have to go. So yeah.
Can we just go to that?
No. Her house is high.
No.
Yeah. It's not like a joint where it's like a backyard. No, gotcha. It's like a balcony, and the inside of her house is 97 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, I'm not mad at that though.
I am.
I know you are.
I'm kind of husky a little bit. You know? So being in that motherfucker is kind of like, you know what I mean? Hot pocketed.
That's the same with my grandma's house. My grandma's AC broke. My grandma look at me and she's like, you know, I'm not cold no more. I go, Grandma, it's fucking 90 degrees in here. She's like, oh, you know, I got my sweater on. I'm nice and warm. I'm like,
hell no. She turned into a tortellini. You got me fucked up. It'd be hot as hell over there.
A tortellini.
I picked up my grandma. No one's coming over for lunch. You want to come over for lunch? Grandma, I'll pick you up. I'll make you lunch. Go right to my house, 60 degrees. She's like, Father, it's just cold in here. I go, yeah, I know it's nice.
It's real nice.
But your house is fucking 96.
Your house feels like you're letting the yeast activate. I don't like it at all.
Oh, I hate it. I love outside being hot. I hate being hot.
No, inside being hot is like, it's a different feeling.
Like, let it be really cold inside, let outside be hot.
It's like being in a rice container.
Like when we were in Nashville, 95 degrees outside didn't bother me.
No,
that was open air.
You know what? You know what really bothered me in Nashville? When we were at wrestling. That was the hottest that it was in Nashville. The whole time we were in Nashville was when we were at SummerSlam.
Did you hear what Pat McAfee said? He
was like, I didn't know the turnbuckles was like that. It's a little slippery, them things, it's a little moist.
He goes, I only wrestled indoors and it was like 60 degrees. And I went out there, myself. I couldn't breathe.
He was like, he fucked himself because he was training indoors in like 60 degree weather. And he said he got out there and didn't know how bad it was. He said, oh, I fucked up.
Pat McAfee, the truth, man.
Hey, I love that guy.
Pat McAfee, the truth.
Pat McAfee is like the God honest.
He's the guy
one
that gets
the best things that ever fucking happened.
But like Cole John, you know he's doing college football commentary now.
He's doing, bro. His checks is just getting enormous.
But he got offers to go back to the league.
And you know what? I feel like
I feel like
a Jordan deal is coming soon.
You know he turned down the offer to go back to the league because he felt
as a kicker, as a puncher.
He felt like the group that he has around him, like the people that he built his company around, he didn't want to end their livelihood. He's like, I don't want you guys ever working a normal job again.
Yeah. He got AJ Hawk, and AJ Hawk just smoked fucking cigars the whole fucking.
Bro,
I didn't even know it was AJ Hawk.
Yeah, bro, you want to have a great time, and I showed this to all my friends. YouTube, John. Watch, there's like a video on YouTube that they came out with, and it's like 45 minutes of AJ Hawk being a menace.
And
he just sitting there talking. He's like, yeah, I don't turn my car off when I pump gas. He's like, my kids are in the back and I smoke a cigar. And people are like, he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Be a man. That's the problem.
He goes, I don't wear a mouth guard because it doesn't protect against concussion. He said that for like 3 years. They had a doctor on, and the doctor's like, yeah, there's no science between mouth guards protecting against concussions. And AJ Hawk's smile gets real fucking big. And he's just like, I fucking told you.
Because
I think people think it leads to concussion because when you get hit real hard, your teeth clap.
Yeah,
and it radiates through your fucking head. So you think that also, it's like two symbols.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it is. Like two
symbols. And in your mind, it makes sense. But like in AJ Hawk, the genius that he is just like, that's not how.
No, he just got hit enough.
He got hit enough to be like, no.
AJ Hawk was like, oh, 3 months.
Three, I'd sacrifice 6 molars. Don't worry about it. Six molars, motherfucker.
Molars?
AJ Hawk always asks every week. He goes, how is Ezekiel doing? And he goes, because Pat McAfee has this gimmick going on that he went to high school with Ezekiel and Elias. Like, him and Elias graduated together. And Ezekiel was brother. And so AJ Hawk's like, oh, how's the family doing? And AJ Hawk, like, plays into that, like, just say it's fake. And he makes him, like, try to say it's fake.
Yeah.
And Pat is pushed against the wall, like, nope. And he defends it. And everyone's
not dead, man.
And everyone else in that office defends it. And it's just funny because you just see AJ Hawk's mind just going, he's like, It's basically like Undertaker and Stone Cold, when Stone Cold tried to make Undertaker laugh. Yeah. And he's just like, can I make you slip? But Pat McAfee slips all the time.
Yeah.
But he's always just like so funny about it. I watch that show every single day.
I look, so what I do is I watch Undisputed, I watch First Things First, and then I catch like little snippets from fucking the Pat McAfee show. Then I go to Weather Culture. And I catch everything. That's why I'm so like, that's why I'm literally like, I don't watch AEW a lot. I watch WWE sometimes. Like, it's rare that I watch SmackDown. And it's not that I don't have the time. Nigga, my time is in abundance. After I get off work, I work out for about an hour, I take a shower, and I sit down and I jump on fucking Xbox and I watch.
I know, I see you on
there. I jump on YouTube and I watch random shit. Like, why is a Sunday called a Sunday?
Exactly.
No, seriously. Yeah. I watch shit like that. And then sometimes I'm like, damn, let me jump on wrestling and figure out what I miss.
And then
I watch all this and I become like.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that MJF was going to be there already. Because I watched, okay, so they had the predictions, and they were like, yeah, you know, if it was any time for MJF, they didn't say that he was going to be in all black, that he had the fucking.
But it was a
but they
scarf
was like,
over there.
There was like, if there was any time for MJF to make a, because they didn't know, they did the predictions. He basically said win or loss. He pretty much said Tony Storm will win a women's championship, and then Jamie Hayter and fucking Britt Baker will finally break up whatever fucking thing they had, which pretty much came to face tonight. And he was like, yeah, MJF is going to be there and shit. Then I knew Powerhouse Hobbs and all that.
Yeah, bullshit.
That match was weird.
That match was like a squash.
I think he dislocated his shoulder and he just sat down and was
It's so weird. Like,
or he's going to WWE. Like, it's one of the two. Either he really got injured, or he was out and he just said, fuck you guys. Because he is a Cody guy. Him and Cody are really good friends.
Yeah. It's just a lot. Like, I really.
Downfall AEW is, like I said, what was
I really enjoy wrestling.
When we were in Nashville,
I just fall asleep sometimes.
Didn't I say that Cody leaving AEW is similar to Jericho leaving WCW, where it started to be the turn shortly after?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's right
like, along. It's more like they're doing this now because they have options, and they have two viable options, as opposed to it just being Ring of Honor, New Japan, yada, yada, yada. Like, you have the option of actually being on TV, whether it's NXT, whether it's a fucking dark show that you might not know that's going to be shown on YouTube, or it's a Rampage, or it's a such and such. It's so many options to be on TV now that these motherfuckers are like, bro, if you're not giving me this, bro, I can even leave here, go to NXT. Like, motherfuckers thinking they're young.
That's right.
Like, of course. Right. But I'm saying, thinking that they're young, like, I can go to NXT and be developmental.
Right.
And then come back. You know what I'm saying? Look at your boy. Look at your boy Braun. Look at your boy E3. These fucking guys.
These guys?
It's crazy.
Like, I watched a couple of, like, joints on Control Your Narrative, and it's all cinematic matches.
It's all cinematic matches. It's all cinematic. The promos and the matches.
The matches were all cinematic. It's no referee.
Yeah, there's no referee.
It's just people. It's like a lumberjack match. That somebody's just back there doing this.
So you would say it's like Lucha Underground?
Well, no, but there's no top rope. No top rope.
Because they're all trash.
Speaking of YouTube, John, I logged into my...
they're all trash.
I logged into my YouTube.
Basuda!
Feel free to use my YouTube on your TV. I logged into it. I got no commercials or nothing, so anything you want to watch. I don't have a YouTube TV, but... Feel free to use it. It's logged in. Leave it logged in. You're more than welcome to use it.
Hey, we got CYN on there?
Yes. I love you. You know.
I feel like all of that's like just Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground was so phenomenal.
Awesome. It was so phenomenal. So I only watched it on YouTube when it was like relevant and Prince Puma was a thing. And Man, Lucha Underground in like 2012, 2013, 2014.
What's that? Between the 10 and the 11.
What? Shoe size.
Yeah, what's your closest size between 10 and 11?
Oh, 10.
You sure?
Yeah.
Sure it's not 10 and a half?
No.
I mean, are you sure it's not 11?
No, it's 10.
So if it's a full size and no half size, you're going 10 as opposed to 11?
That's correct.
All right.
1,000%.
Did you see the Carmelo Hayes Ricochet match today?
It's there, isn't it?
Wait. Ricochet, I don't know who it is, but I know who it is, but they've been pushing Ricochet, and I like it.
Ricochet's good.
I don't feel like he's gonna accomplish anything.
Again, Lucha Underground.
Look, I don't feel like he's gonna accomplish anything.
Right.
But I also feel like they keep him because he is, like, they don't have a Ray. They don't have a Jeff. They don't have any of those. Super flippy.
He's that damn good.
Super flippy dippy guys no more. You know what I'm saying? Who can hit one leg shooting star presses off
vertical. So no vanilla chip flip.
No. And then I fucking
Which is online and people are like, oh, AEW's all about vanilla chip flips. And I was like, wow, that's a term.
EC3?
You can adopt that, I guess.
That's maybe. Name EC3?
EC3?
So he had he was talking about your boy, well, not your boy. I want to subtract that from you. But Velveteen.
Yeah, he was.
And did you hear about the story with the phone in the bathroom?
That's right, I did. In the locker room, yeah.
That's crazy.
I was like, he was like,
I invited him over because, you know, that's what I do. And, you know, it's cool, but I went to the bathroom and he had his phone, like, sitting up in camera mode.
The EC3 thing?
Yeah.
See, it sucks, right?
That was weird. And you know what's weird about it now? That you mention it now.
Well, did you see what
Brian Alvarez
said about it?
No. Right, why is that new news?
I feel like I don't know what he got canned for. I wasn't a big Velveteen Dream dude back then.
Oh, right.
I don't know what he got canned for, right? But I feel like if that's the case, and this happened during the time he got canned,
right,
you should have said that then. Because if you say it after the fact, it's like you was kicking it with this motherfucker knowing whatever he was. So, and you didn't find nothing wrong with it until you went in the bathroom and was like, oh, folks ass a freak. Now you got a problem with it.
So Brian Alvarez came out and said after that statement came out,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, this has been a long...
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. What the fuck? How long did it take for... When did Angel leave?
5 minutes ago.
Yeah, 5 minutes
ago. That motherfucker said he home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's super close. He's super close to you. Yeah. He is. He really is.
We drove by his house.
Yeah, he's super close to you.
I think it probably took him longer to walk back to his car. Brian Alvarez said that was a thing that was reported to a lot of people like Meltzer, Alvarez... Mm-hmm. And it's been like a thing that's been throughout the scene,
mm-hmm.
just was never brought to light for various reasons to why.
Okay, so my thing is like, whatever your various reasons are. But if my man's is like out here vulgar with it, then you're supposed to give more clues of like my man's is vulgar with it. You're not supposed to hold that to the chest.
Yeah, I think because he, so Velveteen got...
Bebe.
Velveteen got arrested for underage stuff. I mean,
get your ass up.
And I'm not defending him, but like, he's also very young. And at the time, he was like...
I seen it.
He was 20 years old.
I ain't got no glasses on. Hold on.
When he was 20 years old? Yeah, when he got arrested, he was 20 years old. And there was like rumors that what started was that he was doing things with like underage people. So they're like, well, how old is underage? Is it like someone that's 17? Or is it someone that's like 14? And that's what the lawsuit was about. And then when the lawsuit finally ended, which was like 2 months ago, that's not why you're hearing stuff. Because I don't think they were allowed to really say anything.
So now this is just like the cat's out the bag. Fuck it.
It's like, hey.
Just let all the information out.
It's like, hey, like, we want you to know, like, this is what we went through. Like, we weren't protecting
you. We couldn't say anything
because it was
breach of
ongoing investigation.
Now, I would have said something. I'm like, hey, yo, hide your bags, hide your purses. Infiltrate is out here raping. Keep your keys.
But I literally said to John,
this is not a dream.
This is not a drill.
But I said to John, what was it, yesterday or 2 days ago? Like, I love,
he's on 2K16.
I love EC3 for like what he does. Like, his downfall in main roster was like they didn't let him talk.
He didn't talk, and then I heard he can't cut promo like that, but he can really talk.
Yeah, he can. He's great. Like, if you watch his like YouTube, he has like a YouTube channel which is mostly just working out.
He's a cinematic match talker.
Well, no, you know, I mean, talking about like his YouTube channel. His YouTube channel, like, he's very motivational and very like upbeat, and he was always like, I should have never made it in wrestling, and like, I was denied by WWE the first time and FCW, and he was like, and instead of like being down on myself, he was like, I went to the gym and I was like, the one thing I can change is how I look. So let me look as best as I can, and let me work my let me make my in ring work better. And then the TNA deal came, but yeah, it's also weird too, like the controlling narrative. So I think I sent it to him. I was like, if you look back at this promo, or I may have showed it to him, was like, when he first got cut from WWE, he made that Control Your Narrative promo, like, that's better than almost anything WWE's made in the last, like, 5 years.
Besides, and just like, teaming up with fucking Braun Strowman, I think that's what killed it for him. If I can be honest with you, I feel like he had the vision, and then Braun Strowman just came in and said,
well, they're real life, they're real life friends, so I get like his loyalty to his friend. But I agree with you. I think the negativity around Braun Strowman took him down.
No, I feel like, okay, so no, my thing sucks. No, my thing is this, right? If you can't cut a promo, and you get another motherfucker that can't cut a promo, then what the fuck are you controlling?
Can't control.
You're not controlling shit.
No, but
you prove the narrative.
For EC3,
that's right.
You prove the narrative. Like, no. The reason that they cut you wasn't because you couldn't perform in the ring. It wasn't because you're big. Like, they love that shit. It's just because, well, I don't know about EC3. He looks very like, I've never seen this in a ring action. Oh, work. Sorry. But it's like, bro, you can't cut a promo. This motherfucker can't cut a promo. And both of y'all ass finna start a business about half wrestling. It's no live matches. It's no referees. It's just big motherfuckers in the ring that don't talk and just grunt. That's pretty much.
Yeah. Well. So the contrary, EC3 can actually cut a promo. That's like, he's better at promo than he is in ring.
Ring, and Braun is better in ring than in his promo.
But like, they're real life friends, because Braun is legit a pro card holding powerlifter. Like,
I've seen.
Yeah,
and he looks. I'm not gonna stunt. Like, he's the type of motherfucker that got fired and just got super in shape.
Him and
he looks
Big
great.
Cass. Big Cass looks fucking.
Big Cass looks great.
Nuts.
I'm not gonna bullshit.
But he's another. He fucking
yeah, he got like.
He's a psychopath.
Like,
yeah.
Fucking Braun Strowman looks amazing, and still can't cut a promo. And he got the dumbass haircut. And I think he's dating what's her name? Big Smile, Big Back.
Raquel Gonzalez
is not Rodriguez no more, right?
That's right.
It's Gonzalez.
But yeah, like EC3, like if you go back and like watch his promos, and even just when he talks, like he's very he talks about he's not he's a big introvert.
How the fuck your keys back?
But he's good promo. I agree with you though.
I your keys back.
Wrong loyalty to put your company in the wrong. And mostly because of the negativity. If you had.
And then on top of that, I feel like you can't start shit with Braun. I'm sorry, I don't give a fuck. Like, you have.
Well, I think their friendship pretty much ended now that he's going back to WWE. But, yes, I agree.
Yeah, because he's going to have to control.
Because his real life best friend for a long time was Drake Maverick, Rockstar Spud. Like, they were real life best friends. And kind of when.
Hey, come here, man.
When Drake Maverick gave that crying thing after he got re-signed, that kind of ended their friendship, because he kind of threw EC3 under the bus and was like, hey, by the way, we're not in this.
Grabbing those shoes. But don't fucking bend them shoes up, bro. That's disrespectful.
Don't tell me how to wear my shoes, okay?
I just did. Mm-hmm. That's disrespectful, bro. You stand on the back of your shoe. Damn, bro. All right, bro. That's crazy, yeah.
No creases.
Slime beast. why did you send it to me, my house?
Because it's not reliable.
Oh, yeah, the people.
Aggregating shit. Yeah. So she's been calling me religiously. Right?
I bet.
I'm like, relax.
It's the Dominique. Oh, right. Put a pound cake in there.
Bro, I haven't told her that I'm sick, so.
Oh, yeah, don't. She gonna take his blood.
She been calling all week.
Yeah, she gonna take
his
blood.
More than a week. She been like, yeah, I'm back for that. I'm back for that. I'll get the rent.
Don't worry.
I just want to that's all we're doing.
You're fucking guy.
No.
Okay.
That's
all we did.
I'm good.
Exactly. I wish I could
drink. Oh, I drank.
See, I told you this pizza was fire. I wish I
did. I remember half of that. Yeah.
This pizza was fire, I told you. Pizza is fire.
I can go
with
the whole month.
That's right.
I was telling John, I was like,
ring the bell. Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you very much. This is the post show, the post wrap, if you will, of the 2022 All Out event of AEW. I am your host, Quarantine Dream. It's been a big pleasure of mine to host all of you and to feature you here with P. Fitz is Robin.
I feel like ludicrous.
With Big Homie Macaroni and Kirk. See you guys later. One.